to China now, where a sweeping new law which came into force this week is being condemned by human rights groups as an attempt to further degrade ethnic minorities in the country. The so-called Ethnic Unity Law makes Mandarin the primary language in schools, government agencies and businesses. The law also has a clause which says people and groups beyond China's borders can be held legally accountable for undermining, this is how it's stated, ethnic unity and progress or inciting ethnic separatism. Now, 11 languages have traditionally been recognised in China, which has something like 56 different ethnic groups, although around 90% of the population are Han Chinese. The United Nations has warned the law could have some serious implications for, you know, the cultural and religious autonomy of ethnic communities, including Tibetans, Uyghurs and Mongols. Kinzom Dongdu is a strategic campaigns manager at Amnesty Australia and a former CEO of the Australia-Tibet Council. Kinzom, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me, Mel.
Can you explain to me this new law? What are the key aspects that are concerning for you?
So at its heart, this is a law of forced assimilation. It requires Tibetans, Uyghurs, Southern Mongolians to adopt a single national identity, that one that is state-defined, dominated by Han Chinese culture, and centered on loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party, or the CCP. So what it does in practice is extend that Chinese state control into almost every aspect of life. You touched on a few things. So it's about how people speak, what children learn at school, how religion is practiced, what history is taught, and even down to how urban planning is developed. And of course, you talked about the education piece, the law reinforcing Mandarin as the primary language of instruction in schools, but also in businesses. Mm. Another requires parents to educate children to love the CCP. Now, as Tibetans, you know, I am also of Tibetan background, and we know these are not entirely new. We have suffered on these policies for many decades. But what's now changed is that it is embedded in law. And you also touched on the law having implications beyond China's borders. It provides this legal basis to target people and organizations overseas, including in Australia, for their peaceful advocacy for human rights, which China says would undermine the so-called ethnic unity.
As you say, this does codify some practices that seem to have been in place for a long time. I mean, it's long been difficult to have schooling and education taught in languages other than Mandarin. Can you give me a sense of is there an expectation that there is a big enforcement campaign to come behind this change in law? How much practically might change with this?
This will have serious and far-reaching implications on Tibetan culture and language, as it is, you know, for the last many years, especially in more recent years. There's been a huge political campaign of forcibly sending Tibetan kids into a vast network of Chinese residential schools or colonial-style boarding schools, where Mandarin is the primary form of instruction. So kids being uprooted from their families, from their language, from their communities. And we know the impacts that has had on, you know, First Nations communities worldwide, including here in Australia. So, you know, this should really alarm us. You know, families in Tibet describe of how children return home during school holidays, you know, only to behave like strangers, even in their own homes, and not being able to communicate with their parents. So this is a major concern for Amnesty International, because this law undermines all these rights that are protected under international human rights law. You know, the right to speak your own language, practice your religion and your culture, and pass that identity down to your children. And this law moves in the exact opposite direction.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, where Kinzom Dongdu, the Strategic Campaigns Manager at Amnesty International, is my guest. We've briefly mentioned the aspect of this law that seeks to give Chinese authorities the right to act against organisations and individuals outside of China where they deem it to be undermining ethnic unity. What are your concerns about what that will mean for people who live abroad? I mean, do you think you yourself or others in Australia could be targeted under this law?
Absolutely. And this is a key concern for Amnesty, because the law contains, as you said, provisions that Chinese authorities have said would apply beyond China's borders. And this matters because China already has a well-documented record of transnational repression. We have documented cases where Tibetans, Uyghurs, and Hong Kongers, as well as Chinese human rights activists living in Australia and around the world, have faced surveillance, intimidation, and harassment. And this often happens through threats against family members still back home. So if you look at Article 63, it says that organizations and individuals outside China can be held legally accountable for activities deemed to undermine ethnic unity. So, you know, obviously as someone who advocates for human rights in Tibet, I find that deeply concerning because people living in democracy should never fear repercussions for peacefully exercising their freedom of expression.
And is there anything that the Australian government can do to try and advocate on behalf of your community and others who are worried about the implementation of this law?
Yeah, first of all, Amnesty International urges the Chinese government to repeal this law because it entrenches policies of forced assimilation that are so inconsistent with China's international human rights obligations. And of course, we are asking the Australian government to publicly condemn this law and raise this issue with the Chinese government at the highest level. We want Australia to make it really clear that people here must be protected from any attempts at transnational repression. And we are aware that the foreign minister this week has indicated that this issue will be raised with China. But this law is a significant escalation. It doesn't simply affect people in Tibet, Xinjiang or China. It reaches into democratic countries like Australia. And that's why, you know, we believe it warrants a clear and public response, including at the international forum, such as the upcoming UN General Assembly in September.
Kinzom Dongdu, thank you very much for speaking to me this morning.
Thank you.